Chapter 23. I stood and watched the taillights of Brian's car until they were gone in the distance. But my unhappiness did not leave with my brother. It swirled around me and rose higher as the moonlight poured in and mixed with the irritation, and once more the serpent voice began to wheedle and coax and make its sly suggestions. "Come with us," it whispered in honeyed tones of pure and perfect reason. "Come away into the night. Come and play, and you will feel much better." And I pushed it away, standing firm on the shores of my new land, human fatherhood. But the moonlight flowed back and tugged harder, and I closed my eyes for just a moment to shut it out. I thought of Lillian. I thought of Cody and Aster, and the fawning pleasure they showed with Brian, and another small rivulet of irritation surged up. I pushed it down and thought of Deborah and her deep unhappiness. She had been so pleased with catching Victor Chapin, and so miserable when she'd had to let him go. I wanted her to be happy. I wanted the kids to be happy, too. And the wicked little voice trickled back in and said, "I know how to make them happy, and you, too." For just a moment I listened, and everything clicked together with perfect sharpness and clarity, and I saw myself slipping away into the night with my duct tape and a knife. And I pushed back one more time, hard, and the picture shattered. I took a deep breath and opened my eyes. The moon was still there, beaming at me expectantly, but I shook my head firmly. I would be strong, and I would prevail. I turned away from the night with brittle resolve and marched briskly back into the house. Inside, Rita was in the kitchen cleaning up. Lillian burbled in the bassinet, and Cody and Aster were already back on the couch in front of the TV playing with the Wii. Now was the time to start, to set things straight between us, to stamp out the embers of Brian's influence and get these children moving out of the darkness. It could be done. I would do it. I went straight to Cody and Aster and stood between them and the TV screen. They looked up at me and seemed to see me for the first time tonight. "What?" Aster said. "You're in the way." "We need to talk," I said. "We need to play Dragon Blade," Cody said, and I did not like what I heard in his voice. I looked at him, and I looked at Aster, and the two of them looked back at me with smug and self-righteous irritation, and it was too much. I leaned over to the Wii's control box and pulled its plug out of the wall socket. "Hey," Aster said, "you lost the game. Now we gotta start over on level one." "The game is going in the trash," I said, and their mouths dropped open in unison. "Not fair," Cody said. "Fair has nothing to do with this," I said. "This is about what's right."
"That doesn't make any sense," Aster said. "If it's right, then it's fair too, and you said..."
And she was going to go on, but she saw my face and trickled to a stop.
"What?"
she said. "You don't even like Chinese food," I said sternly. Two small and blank faces looked at me and then at each other, and I heard the echo of what I had just said. It didn't even make sense to me. "What I mean is," I said, and their eyes swung back to me, "when you went out with Brian, my brother, Uncle Brian."
"We know who you mean," Aster said.
"You told your mother you went for Chinese food," I said, "and that was a lie." Cody shook his head and Aster said,
"He told her that. We would have said pizza."
"And that would have been a lie too," I said.
"But Dexter, you told us already," she said, and Cody nodded. "Mom isn't supposed to know about, you know, all that other stuff, so we have to lie to her."
"No, you don't," I said. "What you have to do is not do it anymore." I watched astonishment blossom on their faces. Cody shook his head with bewilderment, and Aster blurted,
"But that's not, I mean, you can't really, what do you mean?"
And for the first time in her life, she sounded just like her mother. I sat down on the couch between them. "What did you do with Uncle Brian that night?" I said, "when he said you went for Chinese food." They looked at each other, and an entire conversation went on between them with no audible words. Then Cody looked back at me.
"Stray dog," he said.